Good. All right. Welcome. Let's have a good morning praising the Lord here at Lake Country Bible Church. If you're visiting with us today, we would like to welcome you. Please look in the hymnal slot in front of you in the pouch, and there's a pen and an envelope and a form. If you just fill that little form out, put it in the basket on the side of the door on your way out this morning. Let us know a little about yourself. We sure would appreciate that. And again, thank you for joining us in worship this morning. And let's just praise God today. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a change to announcements. Friday night movie night will not be on the 15th. It will be on the 22nd. That does not appear in your bulletin, but just to get you ready for that. That movie that we will show will be, Terry, what's the name? Overcomer. It's about a coach of a cross-country team. And Terry and I have watched it. It's a wonderful movie. 22nd of March, Friday. Prayer meetings every Sunday morning in the room to the right here through the door. That meets at 9 o'clock in the morning. Everyone is welcome, of course. The women's Bible study takes place on Tuesday night in the same room. Terry is going through 2 Samuel, Terry Buckler. Wednesday night we have in this room, of course, at 6 o'clock. And we take prayer requests and have a lesson that night, on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we come praising your name this morning as we lift our voices in song. Lord, our hearts are rejoicing at your love for all who know you by the hearing of your and reading of your word. For there you do tell us, blessed are all those whose transgressions that you forgive, declaring righteous all who seek your goodness. We who have believed by faith, the apostles report, Lord, we know that we must trust and build on your gift, which you began as a promise. And that promise, your love, that began in the garden. Lord, ever should we praise you so much more that you revealed through your written word that promise spoken by the word who has been in you since the beginning, who then became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, for now we read his truth and we know his truth by his speaking it as a man and as your own son. Lord, we believe that we are his friends, as he has said, and that he also said and told us in his word, greater love has no man than that to lay down his life for his friends. Lord, we thank you for being your friend. Yes, Lord, you sent us a Savior, as you promised, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And we read and know this morning, because of your word, that worthy is the Lamb whose name is faithful and true. Lord, we ask your blessing this morning upon all who have gathered in your name. May the worship from our hearts be a sweet savor before you. Many among us need your loving kindness, your peace, and your strength. We all stand not alone as believers, seeking your light upon our pathways. Lord, your light within us, let it shine in a manner that would magnify and glorify your holy name. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Freddie Coyle will be here on the 14th. There will be on the 16th will be a Saturday, and that will be a cookout. If you have a portable grill or want to bring a charcoal grill or whatever, We may have a fire pit by that time. There will be an outdoor cookout on the 16th while Freddie Coyle and his family are here. If you do not know Freddie Coyle, he is our missionary from Georgia. Grace Farm is his mission. He travels all over the United States and the world making a clear gospel message, and I mean clear and simple. You will love to hear Freddie on Saturday night, the 16th. Please join us. I believe we're in the book of Daniel this morning, Daniel chapter 11. And I believe we read from verses 10 through 20. Daniel chapter 11, starting with verse 10. However, his sons shall stir up strife and assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overwhelm and pass through. Then he shall return to his fortress and stir up strife. And the king of the south shall be moved with rage and go out and fight with him and with the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude. But the multitude shall be given into the hand of the enemy. When he has taken away the multitude, his heart will be lifted up, and he will cast down tens of thousands. But he will not prevail, for the king of the north will return and muster a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end of some years with a great army and much equipment. Now in those times shall rise up against the king of the south. Also violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and build a siege mound and take a fortified city. And the forces of the south shall not withstand him. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist. But he who comes against him shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land with destruction in his power. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women to destroy it. But she shall not stand with him or before him. After this, he shall turn his face to the coastlands and shall take many. But a ruler shall bring the reproach against them to an end. And with the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fortress of his own land. But he shall stumble and fall and not be found. There shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, but not in anger nor in battle.
A little bit of an announcement here. I guess it'd be good if I turned on my own mic. Is that correct, Tara? Yeah. Is that all right? Good. I have a note from Ray, and he addresses it to the church and the prayer group. He says, "Thank you for all of your prayers, visits, and love. We sense it and feel the impact. God is good and guides the hand of his people. who know Jesus. God's grace is good all the time. Love you all, Ray. And he should be back with us. Hopefully he'll be able to come while Freddie is here, but he should be with us in about 3 weeks, which is better than what we had anticipated. My mind is drawn to the hymn this morning, 408, I Surrender All. And as I was looking at that, I was reminded that how people accept that from the podium and from the platform. It's a beautiful song. Don't get me wrong. I love the song, I Surrender All. Too many of our acquaintances down through the years have misinterpreted the purpose of this song. And this song is a song of dedication and surrender, not for salvation, but for God's guidance, direction, and use. This is a song of dedication and not salvation. So keep that in mind. Beautiful song. I love the song. In my best intention of singing, I love to sing the song. I even sing it when I'm by myself because it is a great song that encourages the believer's walk in Christ. Good hymn for salvation. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Salvation. We find in the book of 1 John, John was writing and he was saying, he says in 1 John, he said, these things have I written unto you that believe. That believe. That believe. He didn't do the repetition. I did. These things have I written unto you that believe, that ye may know, that ye may know, that ye may know. Repetition is mine. He wrote, these things have I written unto you that believe, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. There were years that went by before I knew that I had eternal life. Eternal life, a gift. Christ paid a debt. I love to use an illustration. Usually I have my wallet in my back pocket, but I couldn't quite make it this morning. But let me say this. Let me use this. God's Word tells us it's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's Word says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, God is a righteous God. Means no sin. There's nothing wrong, has never done anything wrong. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. What a gift that was. At the expense of Jesus Christ, God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I like to use an illustration. Let this tissue box, and these tissues represent you and I, and what is on the inside of us, sin. And we look at this, our sin, and we begin to think about our sin, and we find that our sin is not just one sin, not even two sins, not even three sins, but we are full of sin. We are sinful before we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We have that sin. That sin has to be paid for. God's Word tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. You see, letting this hand represent God, and this hand represents you and I, and this box of tissue represent our sin, God says, I love you, but I hate that sin. We can't get into heaven with that sin on us. That sin has to be paid for. And letting this hand represent Jesus Christ, Christ said, God said, I'm going to make you to be sin for us, for all of those who have sin. For He hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. So here we are. God sent Jesus Christ to pay for our sin. God loves us. He hates our sin. Jesus Christ, letting this hand represent Him, He was sinless. He was perfect. He never did anything wrong. No sin in Him whatsoever. God sent Him, and Jesus Christ took our sin upon Himself, and He paid for it by dying on the cross. He didn't pay for one sin or two sins. He paid for all sin. He took our sin and paid for it on the cross by His death. God's Word says that He removed it. God removed it as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more. He gives us His righteousness to go to heaven on, because we can never make it on our own righteousness. And in addition to that, God's Word says, as I quoted earlier, God's Word says that we can know that we have eternal life. If you're here this morning and you've never actually been assured of going to heaven, let me encourage you upon the authority of God's Word this morning, in which is no error, no lie, you can know that you have eternal life before you walk out those doors. If you've never trusted Christ, if you don't know for sure that heaven's your home, take God at His Word this morning. And the best way you know how, would you trust Christ? God doesn't expect us to be perfect when we've never trusted Christ. He doesn't expect us to be perfect after we trust Christ. Our sins have been paid for. We're still in this old sinful body. We still fight those urges that are inherent in our bodies. We still have those. We still need to walk with Him. Therefore, we have songs and music and hymns that deal with dedication. But dedication is a separate issue from salvation. Salvation is free. Dedication is a walk with the Lord. You're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, but you want to. You'd like to walk out of here knowing that all of your sins have been paid for and heaven is your home. You can be assured of that this morning. I'm going to ask you this morning, right now, the best way you know how, bow your heads, close your eyes, and the best way you know how, I want you to trust Christ as your personal Savior. Not closing your eyes doesn't save you. I'm going to ask you in just a moment, not now, but in just a moment, to raise your hand if the best way you know how you trust in Christ. Raising your hand doesn't save you. What I ask is that you raise your hand this morning. If you're there and the best way you know how you're trusting Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven, I would count it a privilege to pray for you in the days and weeks to come. Because Satan is going to come in and cause you to doubt your salvation. He's going to whisper in your ear, it can't be that easy, you've got to do something. But I'm telling you this morning, upon the authority of God's Word, Christ came, He paid the payment that was yours to make, and He gives you eternal life as a free gift. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, in the best way you know how, you're trusting Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. Nobody will know except me and you, and the raise of hand does not affect God's opinion of you. Your faith is what gives you eternal life. So if you're here this morning, the best way you know how, I'd count it a privilege to pray for you over in the weeks to come. And I would ask for my benefit. So I know to pray for you individually. If you're here this morning and you're trusting Christ the best way you know how, would you just slip up your hand till I see it and then you can put it down again? Anybody? The best way you know how? You say, Mike, I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of trying to be good. I can't do it. Right now, I'm taking God at His word. Would you just raise your hand till I see it? Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the truthfulness of your word. We thank you, Father, for the simplicity of the gospel. We thank you, Father, for your love for us that caused you to come and take on the anguish and the pain and the agony, Father, of the cross, dying a cruel death that you did not owe. But, Father, Christ paid our debt that we might have eternal life as a free gift. And we thank you so much for that. Thank you, Father, for this time together. Father, we ask your blessings on the remainder of our service this morning. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Daniel, chapter 11. I am already running behind, but God just laid on my heart regarding someone here that might need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I took that liberty this morning and deviated from chapter 11 of Daniel. Where do we go? Where do we go as God's children when things go wrong in our lives? Boy, I'm telling you this morning, I don't know about you, but I flee to the Lord in prayer and in seeking His will and His guidance. And I know you might reduce my salary some this morning, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to go directly into the Lord's table and give us some time for inner contemplation. If we know Christ is our personal Savior, are we pleasing to the Lord in our walk? I look around and I see our numbers dwindling a little bit. People that we love, we don't see this morning. We need to pray for them. Need to pray for Ray. Need to pray for Freddie. I got some communication from Freddie this morning. If I might have the liberty, I guess I'm taking it anyway. I met Freddie back in 1995. I got some communication from him this morning. As I was having my morning cup of coffee, I'm just telling you this. I read what he sent to me. He said, Mike, I'm under attack, not health, but just machines not working, locks not opening, computers malfunctioning, and people being awfully mean and abusive. I think the enemy is trying to discourage me. I have much to be thankful for. I know the Lord is with me. You ever have time like that? If you know Christ as your personal Savior, I guarantee you, you have. And you will continue. Satan never sleeps. He never gives up. He never changes his tactics. Many times he uses other believers to do his missions. And that's a shame. So pray for Freddie and his family. And now if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is writing, church at Corinth, we place much, much emphasis upon 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And I can't help but believe that the probability that we do that is because we see and can identify with some of the things that were going on in the church at Corinth. Church of Corinth was full of problems, all kinds of problems. Some that we might look over as believers and say, well, you know, that's not bad. Others are pretty serious things that were going on in the church. And one of the problems in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians is written by the Apostle Paul to help the Corinthian church to solve some of those problems and come out from under the burden of laboring with these problems. My prayer is that Lake Country Bible Church will never give in to these satanic enticements that the church at Corinth had. But we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 concerning the Lord's table. There was a problem with the Corinthian church because they used it in this time that they celebrated Christ and his payment for sin. They were making gluttons of themselves. They were getting there early before the food was picked over. Before it got scarce. Their plates were loaded. They ate until they were full. They drank until they were drunk. And Paul said, it's enough, enough is enough. And so he writes to them concerning this abuse of the time of fellowship at the Lord's table. And he says to them in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 11, well, let's not go back to verse 21. Let's go to verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. They're dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Instruction concerning the Lord's table. Let's approach this table in accordance with Paul's instruction to the Corinthian church, where he says, but let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let us examine ourselves this morning in a time of heads bowed and eyes closed, and using a East Texas phrase, let's do business with the Lord. Then we'll partake of the elements. Let's examine ourselves for just a few moments.